I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Welcome into The Memo for this Thursday, October 13th, 2016. Brad Locke here with W. Derek Russell.
A slightly sedated Brad Locke, it sounds like.
I guess. I've only had one cup of coffee.
Yeah. We measure you by how many cups of coffee you've had.
Feeling meditative this morning.
Most people in the newsroom won't talk to Brad before he's had three.
And you know, they're smart like mm-hmm. that.
Hair's getting a little shaggy.
Yeah, I probably need a haircut. I just kind of didn't really do much with it this morning.
About to add on a whole other foot to your height.
Yeah, I know. Now I'm 6'4".
What do they do when they do physicals here? What do they go to the back of the skull or do they go all the way to the top there?
Yeah, it's a little spiky this morning.
I mean, you look like you've stuck your finger in an electrical outlet. I can't say. I wish I could look like that.
Well, you know. Like I said, I was feeling meditative. So meditative. Let's start the show with a deep thought from Jack Handy. It just came to mind. We were talking about the, you know, our motto here at the Journal is in service of God and mankind.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to do that here on the podcast. Here's a deep thought from Jack Handy.
Mm-hmm.
You may be familiar if you've watched Saturday Night Live. It's about mankind. Maybe in order to understand mankind, we have to look at that word itself, mankind. Basically, it's made up of two separate words, mank and eind. What do these words mean? It's a mystery, and that's why so is mankind. Think on that, people.
My nose is bleeding from that deep thought.
Deep thoughts with Brad.
Good times.
Let's just do SNL references the whole time.
We probably should. Show. We probably shouldn't, we probably could.
Yeah, we could.
If
definitely.
I had to venture a guess. So.
I might have to apologize.
Apologize. Are you saying apologize?
No, I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do that.
I haven't tried my Donald Trump impression yet.
Please
don't. I wonder if I could do a Donald Trump impression.
What is that?
We have the best words.
What is that?
I'm trying to do the Alec Baldwin thing with the lips.
You're trying to do an impersonation of Alec Baldwin doing an impersonation
probably.
Of Donald Trump.
Probably
that's,
so.
That's kind of terrifying.
We have all the words.
Please, nobody needs a full show on this Thursday.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We got Bobby Harrison on the show.
Bobby Harrison's going to be. We've actually upgraded to hologram technology, so it will be hologramming in.
Whoa.
To the studio.
Well, I didn't know we had that going on.
Yeah, but you can't see him. You'll just have to take our word for it.
That's right.
But you don't have to take my word for it. <Ba-da-da>.
Yes.
What else? Scott Morris.
Scott Morris will
it's on
review.
Thursday.
He's going to review a couple of movies because we didn't have a show last Thursday, so we didn't get to review.
Oh, you got a twofer with Scott Morris today.
Two for one deal with Scott Morris, and we've got you, Derek, talking about the scene section and what's happening.
I'll do my best. I'll try to inform and educate and entertain.
Cool. Also, I might want to talk to you about this haunted series you're doing.
Hey,
that seems like fun.
Yeah.
Weren't you at Roanoke yesterday?
I was at Roanoke yesterday into last night, and that was kind of.
And Derek's stomach chimes in.
We were supposed to say it was a ghost.
Oh, sorry.
Did you hear that?
Derek's stomach has been growling all morning.
He's hungry.
So did you run into the ghost of William Faulkner?
Faulkner's spirit does not haunt Roanoke.
Where does it haunt? It's got to haunt somewhere.
In the cemetery, yeah, which is not at Roanoke.
I used to live right by that cemetery. We'd go take walks in it all the time.
Yeah.
Want to hear a creepy story?
Sure.
Okay, so we're living in Oxford.
Are we talking about this now, or do you wait until the end of the show?
Let's do it right now.
This is a tease.
A tease for later on. We were taking a walk. We lived in Oxford.
He lived right in the cemetery, folks.
Some 16.
There's a mausoleum up on the hill.
Lived there from 98 to 2000 after I just got married.
He had a hot plate and microwave, and he mooched.
We had a small
squatted.
We had a small child. Deanna was about two. And we'd take regular walks up, because, again, we lived right off that road. We lived in Jefferson Place, the little duplexes or whatever.
I know where we're talking.
Townhouses, right across from Bramlett Elementary. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'd take walks up that road and go walk through the cemetery, because it's a nice, pretty area and not a good place to walk. And one time after we had finished our walk through the cemetery, we were headed back, and Deanna, our oldest, she was about 2 years old at the time, was sitting in the stroller, just started singing Amazing Grace and crying. It was really weird. She had never done that before, or had never did it again. But she was, She was singing that song, which she knew the song.
Okay.
I mean, that's one of my favorite.
Yeah, I was going to say, if she just suddenly knew it.
No, that's my favorite. That's my favorite hymn. So she was singing the song, but for some reason was just crying. And then by the time we got home, she seemed okay. So I don't know if she like saw a ghost or something and it scared her. And she's like, Jesus, help me, or what. But, you know, maybe she saw Faulkner at that time. It's weird. It was weird.
I saw some things last night. She doesn't have any
recollection.
No, I don't think so.
We'll discuss more at the end of the show.
Yes, more about haunted places.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I want to remind you that today's show is brought to you by South, a local restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. You can visit South on North Gloucester Street in Tupelo.
Okay, let's go down to Jackson and bring in Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison. Bobby, how are you doing today?
All right, Brad, how you doing?
Can't complain, sir. I want to talk with you about this story about education funding. Apparently, the legislature or some of the leaders down there want to overhaul the Mississippi Adequate Education Program school funding formula. They've hired this company out of New Jersey called EdBuild to do this. And the story says they want to, quote, modernize the outdated MAEP formula. Bobby, what does that mean?
It means that I'm not sure. Maybe it means they hadn't been able to fund it, so they're going to change it. That's what some people fear. But it was a surprise, the announcement Tuesday afternoon that they were hiring this company to look at changing the formula. The timing was a surprise because it just wasn't on anybody's radar screen at the time. But, you know, the Republican leadership has been talking about this for some time. It was just a surprise that they acted when they did. Nobody saw this on the radar at the time. But, you know, just for a refresher, the Adequate Education Program funds the state share of the basics to operate local school districts, and it provides more state money for poor school districts. It sets a per pupil level that each student should supposed to receive an adequate education, and it requires all local districts to provide a equal amount in terms of their tax base, not an equal amount in the actual dollars, but, you know, the amount Tupelo would provide would be more than Nettleton, but because Nettleton's a much poorer school district, but they would each be providing at least the same percentage level of local taxation, and the state's supposed to make up the rest to ensure every student has money for that, for an adequate education. And it was passed in 97 over at governor's veto. It was supposed to be fully enacted in 2003. It was that year when fully funded. It has been fully funded one other year since then. And so Speaker Philip Gunn and Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves announced that they were hiring this company to look at changing the formula. And what they say one of the primary things they are looking at is to get more money into the classroom by basing the formula more on each student's individual needs. So that's kind of the clarion call of what they say they're looking at. The adequate education formula has a component in it to provide additional funds for what is considered at-risk students.
Right.
And at-risk students is determined by students in the free lunch program, which interestingly, majority of students in Mississippi are. So we just have to see what the changes they propose will be. Some people fear that, you know, that they're going to try to provide more school choice components into the formula. But leadership says that's not their intent, so we just have to see where it goes.
Yeah, I mean, some Democrats like Hobb Bryan from Amory says he thinks it's a step toward them cutting funding for public education.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the worry, just because, as I said in the past, it hasn't been fully funded, and those who are leading the fight not to fully fund it, generally speaking, have been Republicans, either Republican governor or Republicans in leadership positions in the legislature. They would argue they have bypass the formula to put more money into the classroom, and we'll just have to see where it goes from here. Senator Bryan is an interesting case in this particular issue because he was one of the primary authors of the Adequate Education Program, and he has a lot of background on this issue, and it would make sense to try to bring him into the fold to work on this. He has repeatedly said he'd be willing to sit down and talk to people about making changes to the formula, to the existing formula, to update it and to tweak it to make it a better formula, but there's been resistance of the leadership to deal with him on that issue. But it would make sense, I guess, to try to build consensus to get everybody at the table, which we had to see if that happens. it hasn't happened on other issues. We have to see if it happens on this issue.
It's a $250,000 contract with Ed Build, and apparently private funds have been raised to pay for at least half the work, but they haven't disclosed where those funds have come from precisely. And you know, when they did this, they didn't do it with any competitive bids. So there's a bit of a mystery there, Bobby, and I guess that's another concern for some people, isn't it?
Yeah, but the flip side of that, if you look at, apparently Ed Build provided those funds from donors to other 125,000, and you look at their website and stuff, I mean, they have a bunch of impressive donors ranging from the Gates Foundation to groups like that that have, you know, seem to be have some bona fides, to quote a saying from my brother, why aren't that?
He's bona fides
when it comes to public school issues, so that, I mean, I think that's something that should also be taken into account when you talk about these private donations.
I want to ask you a little bit, what do we know about Ed Build? I mean, apparently, like you said, this is what they do, right?
Yeah, this is what they do. They say their focus is into school equity, which is also was one of the focuses of the Adequate Education Program, to ensure that students in schools, regardless of the zip code, are getting funding on a level with the students in a district, you know, one or two lines over that were, you know, in a much more affluent district. And what has some people worried is that I can't think of her name, the head of Ed Bill has connections going back to a charter school organization, but she said that's not her goal with Ed Bill. And the leadership says that charter schools have been, you know, have a charter school law in Mississippi and three or four charter schools, but it's been a controversial issue here. And the leadership says that's not their goal is not to use a change in formula to enhance the charter schools components of Mississippi law. So as I said, I mean, if you look at if you read the websites and look at the quotes and look at the comments, there's a, you know, proponents of public schools, there's some things to be excited about Ed Building, but there's some things to be, I guess, from the public school supporters' perspective, there's some things also to be concerned about.
All right, we can find this story in Wednesday's Journal and at djournal.com. Good stuff, Bobby, as always. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
And be sure to look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps and Blake Morgan. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live around 11 a.m. at djournal.com. And the podcast version drops later in the day. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Had a new episode drop yesterday. Talked a lot about Amory and Tupelo football. A couple of red-hot teams right there. And for you Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Also, if you want to wake up with Brad Locke each morning, you can check out the Daily Journal's News Break. Quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a five-minute video. Shows go online every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free online at djournal.com. Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Scott Morris joined us on this Thursday. We teased that he would be doing a double feature for us today. Probably just about the two furthest movies you can get away from each other in terms of
a Disney
film and then
yeah.
Girl on the Train.
Well, think of Queen of Cotway more as an ESPN film.
Okay.
Because it is, it is an ESPN film. It's taken from an ESPN, the magazine article, and that guy expanded it to a book. And so it's about this collection of people in Uganda, I mean, in the slums of Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
And this one girl ends up being a chess prodigy. And so while she's trying to sell corn in the streets, not going to school, she runs across this chess team called the Pioneers. And she learns the game. But, you know, when she first gets there, they make fun of her because she smells bad. And she pushes back, and so the guy who's running it likes her fight, and she ends up, I don't think it's changing, I don't think it's ruined anything to say that she changes her life through chess, and knowing that, I know somebody said, I'm not going to see it, I know how it ends, because she had seen everything in the trailer,
mm-hmm.
You don't know this movie is so inspiring, for little girls, little boys, for 47-year-old men, to watch, to see what people can overcome in the story. It's showing at the Malco. I gave it an A. Kelly Carlson also gave it an A. And we seldom agree. And when we sometimes when we do agree, we're so afraid that may change the universe in some way. We change our grades.
Paradox.
But in this case, we both saw it as an A. And it's an engrossing story. And kids, adults, people who first off, you know, I mean, I couldn't help looking at it and thinking about how I ain't got no problems.
Yeah. From first world problems.
Yeah. My cable went out.
Yeah.
You know, and the houses these people have, and they lose this house. It's not a house. I mean, I have a shed out back that's more stable than what these people were living in. So highly recommended that. The Queen of Cotway, it's family friendly, and go give it a shot. What is not exactly family friendly is The Girl on the Train.
It's about families.
It is about families. No doubt about it. And I'm not going to tell any... I'm not going to let anybody know what the twist is, what it is. Although, as soon as this is done, I'm going to tell Derek because he doesn't want to know. And I'm going to ruin the movie for him.
If not, Shyamalan shows up and it's aliens or something.
On the train. Who would have thought, you know?
The whole movie takes place on a train.
Let me just say that there was a period of time. Emily Blunt stars as Rachel, who is a basket case in a lot of ways. She travels on this train and has these fantasies about people that she sees in this particular area. And we find out more that's where she used to live. And so her husband and her ex-husband and her ex-husband's new wife and baby live there. We understand why she's fixated. And she's drunk and she's obnoxious and she keeps showing up there. And there's also another family down the road that she's fixated on. And so when somebody ends up missing, she keeps showing up in that neighborhood. And I'm thinking, why are you doing this, woman? I mean, is this just like for the plot? Why is this happening? And so there are a couple of times when if I were watching this on TV, I would just turn the channel and gone. But then when the climax happens, when it all comes together, it all comes together so beautifully. So everything that annoyed the heck out of me made sense. And after it was done, I was driving home just putting things into place in my head. Oh, so that means. Oh, and that means. And that's why she did. And so an interesting story and a twist that really, if you don't know it, makes the movie worthwhile. I give it a B. It's best I want to do because I was annoyed. It was slow at times. Kelly Carlson is apparently in the A area. She gave it an A- there with the radio. But it's showing at Malco and the Cinemark in Tupelo.
And got an all-star cast kind of in that one, too.
Yeah. You got
Allison Janney and a bunch of people in that one.
Yeah, I didn't recognize everybody. Allison, Laura Pepron, who and Lisa Kudrow shows up there. Both of them in kind of small parts.
There you go.
But then I don't know Haley Bennett or Rebecca Ferguson, who are the other two lead females in it. Girl on the Train, I recommend. And you have to sit through it a little bit, I think. But it definitely packs a wallop. And again, Queen of Cotway. And if you need, tell you what, if you're tired of the election season, you want something that's a complete antidote to that. Queen of Cotway will take care of you.
There you go. Scott, thanks for joining us today.
You know, it's been my pleasure.
Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. 19 applicants are competing for a new job created by Tupelo Mayor Jason Shelton within his administration. The community outreach coordinator will be responsible for developing and working with outreach programs. The city ended the application period for the job last week. Chief Operations Officer Don Lewis said he and Shelton will review the applications and decide how many candidates to interview. Lewis hopes interviews can be conducted next week. In August, Shelton proposed the creation of the outreach coordinator position, and the city council then agreed to fund it. The position was among a list of proposals made in response to a June 18th deadly shooting of a local man by a Tupelo police officer. Shelton estimated it will cost about $47,000 once benefits are included.
Mississippi's poor are paying a greater percentage of taxes on their income than more affluent residents. According to information presented by legislative Democrats on Wednesday, the minority Democrats held hearings on Wednesday and heard from Jeannie Donovan, who's with the Jesuit Social Research Institute at Loyola University in New Orleans. She wrote a report that says the state's low and middle income earners paid about double the percentage of their income in taxes compared to higher income families. According to Donovan, Mississippians earning between $15 and $26 per hour pay 10.8% of their income in state and local taxes, while those earning more than $306 per hour pay 5.3%. Donovan said the reason for that is the state's heavy reliance on the sales tax, which accounts for about 40% of the general fund revenue. She said sales taxes take a larger share of income from low and middle income people. The state's legislative leaders are currently holding meetings to study the state's taxing and budgeting process, and the Republicans have said they want to move away from taxing income and toward taxing consumption, such as the sales tax.
Residents across northeast Mississippi and much of the South saw something strange in the sky on Wednesday morning. What appeared to be a fireball in the sky was confirmed by NASA officials as being a meteor. NASA's Meteor Watch said the fireball was first reported 65 miles above Sartorsville, Alabama, and moving northwest at about 89,000 miles per hour, according to NOLA.com. The meteor appears to have fragmented 41 miles above Louisville, Mississippi, according to a Meteor Watch Facebook post. Meteors, which are commonly referred to as shooting stars, are described as visible streaks of light caused when a meteoroid burns up in the Earth's atmosphere. Residents in Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia, and Tennessee all reported seeing the meteor.
Nobody's checked Smallville, Kansas, however, for a small child inside the ship. The Yakna Area Council of Boy Scouts of America hopes local football fans will help send scouts to the National Jamboree next summer. Council has created a series of patch sets that feature both the Mississippi State and Ole Miss logos. When the four patches are joined together, they form the shape of a football. A larger six-patch set joins to form an 18-inch tall Egg Bowl trophy. Patch sets range in price from $30 to $80. Proceeds will help offset the cost of scouts wanting to attend the National Jamboree next July. It costs about $2,000 to send a Boy Scout to the 10-day trip to the Summit Bechtel Reserve in Mount Hope, West Virginia. Patch sets are available at the Yakna Area Council headquarters at 505 Air Park Road in Tupelo. For more details, call 662-842-2871.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State football fans will be able to cheer on their teams on a two-story tall screen in downtown Tupelo later this month during away games for both schools. The sixth annual Pigskins in the Park will be held on Saturday, October 22nd. Mississippi State takes on the Kentucky Wildcats at 6:30 p.m. and Ole Miss plays LSU at 8 p.m. Fans are allowed to start setting up their tailgates at 2. The event is free and open to the public.
I want to remind you that South sponsors our Thursday shows. It's a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. It's also home to Tupelo's only Bellini Mimosa Bar on Saturdays. You can check out their happy hour specials each weeknight, and trivia begins at 7 p.m. each Wednesday. The winner receives a $50 gift card. Brad?
Derek?
You want to get scared?
Yes.
Let me tell you some scary stories.
You got scary stories.
Yeah. What would you like to discuss? Today. Well, we can talk about the scene section. We can talk about things to do this weekend. First up, they've got Boonville's 25th annual Fall Festival beginning Saturday at 9 a.m. You know where that's going to be, Brad?
Mm-mm.
In Boonville.
Oh, okay.
This year's event features a 5K.
I wasn't paying attention.
Set you up, knock you right down. 5K run, turnip green cook-off. No, thank you. Soapbox derby and a singing competition. Also live music. For more information, you can call 662-728-4130. Saturday is also the opening of the, I believe it's the 43rd season of the North Mississippi Symphony Orchestra. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce the pianist's name, but he will be performing Saturday. His first name is Antonio, so we'll go with that. 7:30 p.m. in the Link Center. For tickets, you need to call 842-8433 or nmsymphony, just one M, symphony.com. Also, West of Shake Rag has their annual Halloween show each year, costume contest that will also be Saturday night at the Link Center. Tickets for $5. More details on that, look up West of Shake Rag on Facebook. One of the favorite Tupelo pastimes in October is Tupelo Community Theater's Haunted Theater.
I should try that sometime. I haven't been
to it. Well, it is terrifying. Adam Robison, photographer of the Daily Journal, and I walked through the entire labyrinth. I go through it every year. We walked through it with the lights on the other night, and I was freaked out.
Really?
It's just disorienting. They said you've been in the Lyric. Yeah, they set up an entire. You don't know where you are after you know when you walk in where you are, obviously. But once you start going through the path, you have no clue where you are in the theater.
Huh.
It's so it just throws you off because sometimes you're walking sideways, sometimes you got to hunch down, and you can't see the ceiling, and the walls are built up 6 feet tall, 7 feet tall, 8 feet tall, and you don't know where you are. This year has a theme. It is aboard the spaceship Comus. Tupelo historians might remember that's the original name of the Lyric Theater from 1912. And the ship left Earth sometime in the 1960s. Not really, but for the sake of this story it did, or this theme for this event, left Earth in 1960, as a matter of fact. It's been missing for 56 years until now.
Everyone's dead.
I cannot confirm nor deny what happens.
So it starts
throughout this walkthrough.
This weekend.
Starts this weekend, goes every weekend through October. This is always a huge event. They have people lining up. They end up sometimes turning people away. It's a big deal. So they send through groups at a time. It's $15. It's well worth every cent.
How long does it take to get through it?
About 20 minutes.
Okay.
Nobody touches you. That's okay. Always a big, you know, there's some of those haunted houses where people grab you and stuff. You might get chased a little bit, but nobody grabs you or touches you. Please don't grab or touch them. Don't punch them in the face when they scare you. It's you're paying them to scare you. So,
how much, 20 minutes to go through it, but you're kind of waiting a while before you get in?
Maybe a full hour. I think it's a good 20 to 30 minute throughout the whole walk. But, yeah, they only send through groups of six or seven at a time. So every 5 or 6 minutes, they send another group in. You are in the jungle somewhere where the ship has crashed.
Well, I saw the pictures, and there were some severed heads. That's good.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Well, it's on the website, so.
They're on the website, okay.
We have severed heads on the website today.
All right.
Check it out.
Hey, my goal when I came on board of the journal, at some point I'm going to get severed heads on djournal.com.
And you've done it. You can,
goodbye.
You can quit
I'm
now.
Out. I'm out. I'm,
nice.
I'm done, and it's been nice knowing you guys. That's my last day here.
I'm the one that posted it.
So
so I'll be joining you.
This what?
I'm the one that actually posted the picture. So
I'm not quitting because I'm just quitting because I achieved it, not because it needs to be. They're not real heads. I will say, I don't have it. Oh, I do have it on on Instagram. Hold on. Vamp for me, Brad.
Well, what are you looking for on Instagram?
A picture there? That I took that I probably wasn't supposed to take there the other night.
Well, you know those people. Tom Booth doesn't mind.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's fine.
This is a friend that I met at the event the other night.
That's a deer that's
well. Well, you don't have to talk about what it is. I just want to.
It's creepy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very the eyes, Brad.
Yeah, the eyes.
That almost as creepy as something I saw last night at Roanoke. Segway.
Oh, are you going to tell us now about
this? Well, I'll tell you a little bit. So
we've already heard this story, people. It's
I've written two stories on the Lyric in the past week because Haunted Theater is coming up this weekend, and we always want to give them attention for that because it's a really awesome thing that they do there. But last Friday, there's four Fridays in October, I pitched something to our editorial staff about doing a series of stories on local haunts, locations or buildings that are haunted in Northeast Mississippi or claimed to be haunted. The first one I did was the Lyric. It's probably one of the most famous ones around here. Antoine the Ghost for being haunted. And that ran last Friday. Tomorrow's is on the home of William Faulkner, Roanoke.
Over in Oxford.
So, yeah. I saw...
You saw...
First-hand proof.
Some weird things happened there anyway. Adam's camera wouldn't work. He had just put new batteries in it, and the camera would not work.
Oh, boy. You see that all the time on Ghost Hunters. This electrical equipment goes haywire.
Like, the flashes weren't going off. Like, we had to stay, like, a whole extra, probably an hour.
Did you walk off the property and try it? You should have done that.
Yeah. The further away we got away from the house, they would work. The closer we got to the house, they would not work.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm kind of freaked out by that.
There was a family out there taking family portraits, but they would not acknowledge their small child. Who looked like cute kid, but looked like it had just walked out of 1884, wearing like a blue romper thing and had white long hair.
Like white hair.
White platinum long hair. I'm hoping Adam got a picture of the child. It was a beautiful child, but in the, really cute kid, but in that setting, I wanted to run.
Yeah. Well, tell us about how you, came upon this child.
Well, I was approaching Roanoke and apparently this family was taking pictures and I don't know if we were disturbing them. We had permission to be out there. I don't know if they did or not. That's not for me to say, but, the child was trying to make contact or speak to his father, who was not acknowledging the child. And I don't know if the dad didn't see the child. Only I could see the child. I'm not entirely sure. There was some creepiness going on there. But cute family. They were out in the back taking pictures.
You're going to wake up in the middle of the night tonight hearing the small voice going, "Daddy, daddy, 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 daddy."
There was a little chihuahua or some sort of chihuahua mix following the child. Nobody really acknowledged the dog either. I said, "Hello, sir," to the dog. The dog didn't look up at me. He just kept walking.
The dog has been dead for 20 years.
Yeah. So the child could be the ghost. The dog could be the ghost. But apparently there was a debate that the man could have been the ghost.
The man never made contact with anybody. He never even made eye contact with me. He was more, I think.
Adam was there. Sheena Barnett was there with you.
I think from a logical standpoint. Yeah, there were several of us out there.
Witnesses.
From a logical standpoint, they were out there taking family portraits. He was running back to the car to get more clothes to change into because they were losing daylight at sundown. The people who work at Roanoke told me that they don't even stay out there past sundown. They've had like a couple of weird little things, but nothing keeps them from going there at sundown. They just feel better about the place if they're not there past sundown. So that's the next one. I'm excited to tell this story. I got to talk to a lot of people about this one. There is a ghost story that Faulkner would tell his children and friends of his children on the front porch about the colonel that built Roanoke. His daughter was in love with a northern soldier during the Civil War, and he would not allow them to be together, and she flung herself from the second-story balcony and killed herself on the front walk up to Roanoke, and she's supposedly buried under the magnolia tree, which has stones that are pushed away for when she rises from the grave and roams the grounds at night.
Okay, it is
pretty creepy. She, they had 8 children, but this child was not one of them, so it was just a nice Faulkner story.
It's not a real story. I mean, she wasn't real.
No, apparently not. No, I hate to spoiler alert, but it still makes for a good story.
Oh, yeah.
And the magnolia tree is extra creepy with that in mind. Yeah. So, Roanoke, and then I'm tossing around some ideas for next Friday. May not do a building, may do I don't know. I'm just teasing you. It may not be a structure for next Friday's edition of Something
what,
Strange in Your Neighborhood is what I'm calling this.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I get the reference.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
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 What could it be? Might be a cemetery. You don't know.
Ooh. That's a good place.
I'm not sure if I want to go out there past sundown
Go to that Oxford Cemetery where Faulkner is buried. I told you my story earlier.
That one's, you told me a story about that. There's a cemetery in Aberdeen that is very, there's some weird stories out of there.
Really?
Friendship Cemetery in Aberdeen. There's some creepiness. So we shall see what comes next Friday.
You ever walked through a cemetery at night, Derek?
I have.
I have not, because I'm smart. Yeah.
There's a cemetery in Memphis that actually shows movies during October at night. Sets up a screen and you go sit down in the cemetery and watch movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the ghosts like to watch movies, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So much for rest in peace.
Yeah, yeah. Seriously. Well, I like to party every once in a while. That was one thing that curator Roanoke told me yesterday, is that I felt if there is a spirit here, I feel bad for it because we never let it get any rest. People are here all day long, so
yeah,
that's why she comes out at night.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thanks for joining us on The Memo today. You can find us online, memo.djournal.com. Also on Twitter at DJournalMemo. Let's find out when new episodes are available. You can download our podcast from the website, or you can join us on iTunes or Satchel. Stitcher. There's plenty of ways to listen to us 3 times a week whenever we do this show. Also, all the stories we discussed today you can find online at djournal.com in your hard copy of the Daily Journal. And for the latest in news, go to Twitter at djournal.
Yes, we're on Twitter.
That we are.
I'm at Brad Locke.
I'm at Chris Kiefer.
You're not.
I'm at W. Derek Russell.
Chris is at Chris Kiefer.
Sure. He has more followers than me, so I like to say that I'm him. I don't know that for sure.
Who knows?
I can't back that up with any proof.
You looked online.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of effort.
I got more followers than both of you, so.
Jeez.
Ego in that.
Ego.
Just stating a fact.
Wake up with Brad Locke every morning and you just. Good grief. And the beard. All right. Back on Monday?
Yeah.
Good effort.
I'll be back in town.
We'll see if we can fit in this room with Brad's head by then. Bye, everybody.